Welcome to Digital Stratosphere, the podcast that helps organizations throughout the world with their digital transformation journeys. Here, you will find independent and technology agnostic advice with no software vendor sales spin to help you make the best decisions for your organization. Whether you are in the process of selecting technology, in the midst of your transformation, or trying to get your initiative back on track, Digital Stratosphere provides expertise and best practices to help.
It's no secret that most ERP implementations run over budget. But what is a secret and what is lesser known is how to define an ERP implementation budget that makes the most sense. But how do we define the right budget for our ERP implementation? That's what I want to talk about here today. My name is Eric Kimberling. I'm the CEO of Third Stage Consulting. We're an independent consulting firm that helps clients throughout the world reach the third stage of digital transformation success, including the digital strategy, software selection, and implementation planning components of transformations. And one of the services we provide as part of our planning services for our clients is helping them budget for their ERP implementation. Now, the challenge with ERP implementations is not just that most projects go over budget, but the real root cause is that most projects don't have the right budget to begin with. So while there are cases or situations where an organization just mismanaged the budget or didn't have the right project controls in place, that's a real problem and a real risk. The even bigger problem is that there was never a realistic budget set in the first place. So the question becomes, how do we define a realistic budget? Is the software vendor going to give us a realistic budget? Is our system integrator going to give us a realistic budget? What are all the different components we've got to include? Those are some of the things I want to talk about here in today's video. Before we dive too far into today's content, I want to share a little bit of information about Third Stage Consulting and who we are. Third Stage Consulting Group is an independent technology agnostic provider of consulting services to help clients through their digital transformations. We help with digital strategy and software selection, as well as implementation planning. And during implementation, we provide services related to program management, organizational change, business process improvement, as well as enterprise architecture. These are just some of the services we provide. We have offices in North America as well as Europe and Asia Pacific. So if you'd like to learn more, I encourage you to check out our resource center, which includes a number of resources that will help you through your digital transformation. And you can access that for free using the QR code here or the links below. You can also reach out to me directly if you'd like to discuss your digital transformation and brainstorm ideas on how to improve where you're headed on your journey. Now let's jump back into today's content. Now, the first input we typically start with when defining a budget is the vendor proposals. And I'm going to draw this out and I'm going to make it green because vendors are trying to make money at this point. So they're trying to sell you. And this is what the vendor proposal is typically used for, is an input into your overall project. So vendor gives you a proposal. They include the amount of money, the amount of time, they include resources, and of course, they include scope. Now, the problem is that most organizations think that this is the real budget. They think that if the proposal says, let's say $10 million, that it's going to be $10 million. And they take that at face value. Now, there's a problem here. The reality is this is not accurate. This proposal was never accurate. A few reasons why. One is flawed assumptions. More often than not, software vendors don't fully understand or have a realistic set of expectations for what your project is going to entail. For example, some of the assumptions that vendors will typically assume is that you're going to take the base vanilla software as is and you're not going to change it. You're not going to customize it. You're not going to do a whole lot of integration. And data migration is going to be easy. They're going to assume you've got your data all cleaned up and all this stuff that is likely not realistic to begin with. And this is a very common phenomenon we see in vendor proposals. The other big problem with vendor proposals is that they are incomplete scopes. Not because they intentionally left anything out or because they don't want to sell you more stuff, but because this is just for technology. This is just a technology implementation here that they're proposing. But the reality is we have to add process change, data, change management, training, all kinds of stuff that is generally not included in the proposal, or if it is included in the proposal, it's very light and it's not enough to get you where you need to be. So when you look at these flawed assumptions and the incomplete scope that is provided, it becomes clear that this $10 million can suddenly become something much more. It could end up being 13 or 15 million or whatever the numbers are. I'm not going to get into exact hypothetical scenarios, but generally speaking, these numbers are not nearly enough. Now, another thing that's oftentimes missing is the other costs. So there's typically costs associated with decommissioning legacy systems, backfilling your resources, obviously some of these incomplete scope components that I already talked about. So there's other costs that get added to this $10 million in this example. And so we've got to figure out what are these things that we need to do to change our assumptions, to change the scope, to be more realistic so that we can come up with a number that's more realistic. Now, this may end up being the real number you pay to the vendors, but that doesn't mean that's your total cost of ownership or your total implementation cost. But when you're working with your management team and trying to get approval with your board, you need to know what the total cost of ownership is. They don't necessarily care just what are you paying to your software vendor and your system integrator. They want to know what is the total cost for the project, and that's what we've got to figure out.
If you are trying to achieve digital transformation success, turn to Third Stage Consulting Group. Third Stage's independent and technology-agnostic consulting team helps clients define their digital strategies, select the right software, and manage their implementations. With offices in the U.S., Europe, and Australia, our team helps the world's most forward-thinking organizations through their transformation pitfalls and risks. Whether you are embarking on an ERP, HCM, CRM, supply chain management, or any other digital transformation, contact Third Stage Consulting to see how we can help you reach the third stage of transformation success. Learn more about us and download independent reports, videos, and other best practices at thirdstage-consulting.com.
So we talk about the flawed assumptions. What is it we need to do to adjust our assumptions so they're more realistic? And that's what I want to talk about next. So we need to adjust our assumptions. So the ways we adjust our assumptions is, first of all, we complete the scope. So this is where we look at all the things that need to go into our project that were not included in the project proposal. Things like process improvement, the data cleansing and migration and mapping and just moving the data, testing, all that stuff. That's a big work stream that can cost a lot of money, take a lot of time. But typically, there's a little clause in the vendor proposals that say you're going to do that. Just give us the data. We'll load it for you, but just clean it up. Make sure you've got all the data we need, and then we'll bring it over for you. It's typically not that easy, though. There's a lot of effort that goes into data migration. Same with change management. Software vendors are generally going to say, we will do a real high-level train-the-trainer program, but then you, Mr. or Mrs. Client, is going to take that training and you're going to go do the training with all of your hundreds or thousands of employees that you have, and there is a cost associated with that. There's a time associated with that, too. So we need to complete the scope in terms of training, in terms of data migration, in terms of just the general change management activities. There's a lot of change management stuff that leads up to training or should lead up to training that needs to happen as well. And I have a whole video and a whole playlist on my YouTube channel. You can find it right here that talks about organizational change management and what it is you need to do to complete your change strategy. Another really important assumption is how fast your organization realistically can change. So I'm going to call this out as a separate line item here. So the pace of change, the pace that your organization can realistic change is really important here because that is an assumption that is often wrong in a vendor proposal. For example, vendor proposal for $10 million might assume that this is going to take, say, 18 months. They are going to be able to deploy technology to your organization in 18 months. And let's assume that this is realistic. They really could and can and will deploy new technology to your organization in 18 months. The problem is that there's a lot of decisions you need to make and a lot of things you need to do in those 18 months that you may not be able to get done in 18 months. It may not be realistic. There may be big decisions to be made as an organization. There might be major material changes to the scope that are going to push that timeline out. And so we just have to know not just how long it takes for the technical track to complete its work, which let's just say is 18 months, but how fast are we as an organization going to change our people, our processes, and some of the other factors within a digital transformation. And chances are pretty high that the pace of change is going to be slower than what the vendor is proposing, in which case we've got to figure out then, if it's not 18 months, what is it? Is it 24 months? Is it 36 months? Whatever that number is, then we've got to figure out, well, what does that mean to our cost? Does that mean we're going to pay the vendor more because now we've extended the timeline by 50%? Does that mean their cost goes from $10 million to $15 million? Or does it mean that we're still going to spend $10 million, but we're going to spread it out over a longer term? We need to know that up front, because if we assume 18 months and the vendor is running at a rate to accomplish $10 million in 18 months, and then we push it out 50%, the vendor is not going to stop charging you for some of that idle time they might have had while you were making decisions. So we've got to have that plan up front that says maybe we don't run at that same rate. Maybe we run at a lower monthly or quarterly rate, a burn rate, to stretch that out over longer time. Whatever the case may be, we need to go through that rationalization process. And again, not just take the vendor proposal at face value. So these are some of the ways we've got to adjust the assumptions to ensure that we have a realistic view of what the overall budget is going to be. So this brings us to the total cost. How do we get to that total cost of ownership? And that's ultimately what we're trying to get at. And this is the operative word, is total cost of ownership. And that's different than vendor proposal cost for technology. This is vendor proposal cost for technology. This is total cost of ownership, two different things. This is one line item within total cost of ownership. So of course your vendor proposal is part of this. And I'm going to clarify though, your vendor proposal is part of it, but it's also the validated proposal. So back to the previous point, if we say that this number is not realistic for whatever reason, maybe it's $12 million or whatever the case may be, not that we want to willingly just offer more money to the vendor, but if our assumptions need to be changed, they may come back with a budget for their services that's higher than what they originally proposed. So regardless of how we get there, we want to make sure that the vendor proposal is validated and has realistic assumptions. We also have to add other line items. So this is where we add some of the additional things that we've talked about so far. So as we complete the incomplete scope and we add process improvement, data migration work streams, change management work streams, integration work streams, even things like user acceptance testing and the overall test cycles, oftentimes you're going to get a bare-boned version of testing with very few iterations because realistically what the vendor needs to deliver is technology that works, not necessarily technology that works for your business. Again, those are two very different things. You're going to pay a lot less for technology that works. You're going to pay a little bit more for technology that works for your business. And I would argue if you're only going to implement technology that works, that doesn't work for your business, just don't do it at all. It's not worth it. You're not going to get the business value you expect. So let's assume that you want to get technology that works for your business. We've got to make sure that we add these other line items to ensure that we complete the technology picture to include other non-technology components like change management, data migration, process improvement, et cetera. And then the final thing we need to add here is the cost of risk. And this is a really important one because this gets overlooked so often. And the cost of risk is not necessarily just the risk of what happens here in the implementation, but it's also the cost of what might happen after implementation. So in other words, if we were going to go with a budget that actually is $10 million, but it's a bare bone version of an implementation, what does that do to our risk profile? And I would argue and submit to you that it's actually going to increase your risk significantly, materially, after go live, meaning that chances are pretty high the go live is going to be a disaster because you haven't done all these other things that are non-technological, but they're important to your business. And if you don't do that, what ends up happening is you go live and then suddenly you can't ship product, you can't close the books, you can't run payroll, and that can add up to millions and millions of dollars. In fact, the cost of risk and the cost of operational disruption at the time of go live can cost exponentially more than the implementation itself. So you really have to look at the risk reward of what if we invest a little bit more in the implementation in the name of minimizing risk at the time of go live. And that's the way we have to look at this, is that cost benefit analysis. So one interesting metric that we found in our research over the years is that 52% of organizations that go live with ERP technology experience some type of operational disruption. And not just any sort of operational disruption. This is a material operational disruption, meaning they can't close the books, can't ship product, can't pay their employees, et cetera. Not talking about just your basic, you know, there are a few hiccups along the way. We were a little less productive than we were before, right at the time of go live. I'm talking about material operational disruptions. And those 52% of organizations that have material operational disruptions typically pay a lot more in the form of risk post-implementation than they paid in the actual implementation itself. So these are all the things we have to do to rationalize the proposal we get from a software vendor. We have to complete it, we have to rationalize it, validate it, complete it, and then we end up with the total cost of ownership. Now, I also have another video on my YouTube channel that might be of interest to you. It's called How to Create a Business Case. You can find the video right here. In that, I talk in more detail about how to lay out some of your cost line items, some of your business benefits line items, and ultimately help you arrive at an ROI analysis. That might be of interest to you as a follow-up to this video as well. So I hope you found this information useful and hope you have a great day.
Learn more about us and download independent reports, videos, and other best practices at thirdstage-consulting.com.